So today we are thinking about the power of our speech and how we can watch our mouth. There you go. And I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions to start with. The first question, what am I clicking at? Am I pointing at the computer? Okay, is this, how many words does the average person speak in a day? So I've got, So I've got some options here. Do you think it's A, around 16,000 words, B, around 30,000 words, or C, around 5,000 words? Have a quick think. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. So if you think it's option A, 16-ish, put up your hand if you think it's option A. Right, there's a few people who think that. Put up your hand if you think it's B, around 30,000. Well, more people think they're chatterboxes than not. Okay. And if you think it's C, around 5,000. So I think some of this depends on your character, the people who are putting up their hands. Esther put up her hand for most words, that would definitely be true. Matt's put up his hands for the least. So the answer that I found, which seemed to be based on the most research, because there's lots of variations on it, was that it's around 16,000 words per day. So if you knew that, very well done. And it didn't seem to vary greatly, despite what books might tell you, between men and women. So there you go. Well done if you knew that. Okay, the second question I wanted to ask you is a bit of a surprising one. And please bear in mind that I'm using this to illustrate a point, so take it in the spirit in which it's meant. I think I already know the answer to this question. I hope I do. And this question is, has anybody come to church this morning with a weapon? Could you put your hand up this morning if you have come armed? I've got some heavies at the front here, Peter and Rich. And they will, oh gosh, he needs to escort his wife out of the building quickly. Carl's gone. Oh, okay. Some people think they know what I'm going to say next, don't you? Okay. Well, if you said yes, you're probably more honest than everybody else sat here, because everybody who hasn't put up their hand, I'm going to disagree with you. Would you please open your mouth and stick your tongue out at me now? Everybody, I want to see your tongue. Okay. Right. Okay. Everyone in this room has got a potentially dangerous weapon with them this morning. And we're going to be learning this morning about how we need to be careful with our speech. If we're speaking thousands of words every day, we really need to use them well and wisely. And we're just going to start off listening to part of a song by Carrie Underwood, which is a country singer. We like a bit of country in our house. Islands of the Stream came on the radio as I was coming down this morning. Elijah was singing along. So the words will appear on the screen, and it will show you a little bit about what I mean about how our tongue and our words can be a weapon. It's not necessarily the most comfortable thing to listen to, I'm going to be honest. And we've heard already a little bit from Ben this morning about the damage that weapons can do and the power of those things. And I don't want to trivialise that in any way. In fact, the exact opposite, really. I want us to realise how important this is. The Bible uses really strong, powerful images when it talks about our speech and how serious it is to use it wisely. And it even does equate that to kind of being physically violent to somebody. So if we use them carelessly and cruelly, that's not okay. And the words of this song just express some of that. So we're just going to listen to it together now. Just a And the thing is, like that song, the message of that song is that actually your words aren't like little toy guns. You can wish that they were, and that they didn't hurt people, and you could play around with them carelessly and thoughtfully, and you wouldn't hurt people with them. But the truth is, often we do hurt people with our words. They can do real damage and cause real pain, but it's not a game, it's not pretend. You might have heard that old fashioned rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names or words will never hurt me. It's not true. And this is something that the book of Proverbs talks about a lot, how powerful our words are. And the writer of Proverbs kind of uses this technique. We've seen it in some of the other verses that we've heard this morning, that thing about, you know, a witness who tells the truth does this, and one who doesn't does that. He kind of uses this thing where he uses the same sides of the same, two sides of the same coin, so to speak. And it's like, with our speech, we get to decide which side it's going to land on when we open our mouths. So we're going to have a look at this and see. And I've got some coins here. I need some volunteers. It could be any age. I just need 3 people. So maybe he wants to volunteer. I'm not that scary. I don't know if it's not that bad. Go on, Vivian. Come on.
Daniel.
Right. Daniel's volunteering. Oh, good. I can eye on him. Right. Hold them up so you can see them. Right. I need one more. Oh, and then Laura, I promise it's not going to hurt. Right, even after the news, you are noble. Right. So we're going to have a look at these verses. And I've highlighted them in different colours so that we can kind of see what we're talking about, the two sides of that coin. So here is the first one. Ooh, two sides of the same coin. Here we go. Speak without thinking, and your words can cut like a knife. Who has got cutting? There we are, Ruben's got cutting. Be wise, and your words can heal. Flip it over, Ruben. Healing. So your words can be cutting, or they can be healing. Right, here is the next one. Evil people use their words to hurt others. Who's got hurting? Laura's got hurting. But the words for the good people can save others from danger. So your words can be hurting or they can be saving. And this is the last one, that's Proverbs 12:6. Kind words are like a life-giving tree, but lying words will crush your spirit. So life-giving or crushing. There they are, those two sides of the same thing. One tongue can do 2 different things. Give life or crush, cut or heal, hurt or save. Brilliant, thank you. So, these are just some of the times that Proverbs talks about the power that our words have. And either positively or negatively, those two sides, same thing. Now, this isn't really very easy to talk about or to listen to necessarily. It can make you feel a bit uncomfortable. I'm sure all of us can think of times when we've been on the receiving end of sharp, hurtful words, and also times when we've been using our tongue as the weapon in that way to hurt somebody else. I've really been challenged as I prepared for this morning, and I'm standing here knowing that this is something that I need God's help with. And there will be time later to respond to God and pray for healing if you've been hurt in the past, to ask for forgiveness if you know that you've hurt others with your words. But before that, I don't just want to dwell on the negative side of speech, because it's not just that we don't want our words to hurt other people. Our words have also got the potential to be really powerful in positive, good ways too. That's the other side of the coin we just saw. So I wonder if you can remember a time when someone said something really nice about you or to you. And I'd like you just to take a moment to talk to the people around you and share really quickly what it was that they said to you or about you and how that made you feel. So go, talk. Thank you. Okay. It's really nice that people have got have so many lovely things about them. It's great. So, they're still going. It's lovely. What a really good positive thing. So I expect you can see, just from those short conversations, the power that positive words have on us, how we can kind of build this up and make it just. So I was thinking, how can we try and make sure that when we open our mouths, the coin lands on the side where our words bring life to people, where they encourage them, where they heal them, help save them from danger, show appreciation, speak out against injustice, speak God's truth, whatever it may be. How can we do that? Like those verses that we've talked about, and like those people that we've just talked about did for us. Because unlike flipping a coin, what happens isn't chance when you open your mouth. You have the power to decide what's coming out. It's not just a flip it up and see what happens. You're in control of that. So I was thinking first about some, how can we watch our mouths? That's the question. I was thinking first about some really practical things, which might sound a bit silly, it might sound a bit obvious. They're not really super spiritual, but they are things that are true for me. And so I thought maybe they might help other people too. And the first one is to make sure you get enough sleep or rest. I don't know about you, but I'm far more likely to be snappy and hurtful with my words when I'm overtired. That might just be me, but I expect it to be me. The next one is to make sure you eat well and regularly. Again, I'm much more likely to be mean with my mouth if my tummy is empty. And the other one is to try and find ways to manage your stress well. I find that if I'm feeling overwhelmed and worried about things, or lots of people are asking me for lots of things all at the same time, which happens a lot in my house, those are times when I'm less in control of what I'm saying to other people. I find it harder to manage that, and I can end up hurting people with my words. So those are just a few things to think about, maybe, to help us. And they're all sensible things, and they can help us in some ways to watch our mouths. But in the end, I think there's only one thing that's going to change us and help us make sure that the coin lands on the positive side, so to speak, when we open our mouths. And that's God's help. And I think probably God's perspective on this is just a little bit different to ours. Because I think he's not just telling us to watch our mouths, he's telling us to watch our hearts as well. So, watch your mouth and your heart. Your mouth is a window to your heart health. So in Proverbs 4:23, it says that the most important thing to watch is actually our heart, because that affects everything else that we do, including what we say. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And Jesus kind of says this too. He says it twice in the Gospels, once in Matthew and once in Luke. I've got the Luke version here, Luke 6:45. He says, what people say with their mouths comes from what fills their hearts. So I find that really challenging. If my mouth is like a mirror and it reflects the things that are between my heart, then what is my mouth saying about what I'm like on the inside, my attitudes? And so it might be today that we need to ask God to help us change the state and attitude of our hearts, not just watch our mouths, but to change our hearts. And that's something that only God does. We can't do that ourselves. It's not like the sensible ideas from before. That's a God thing. But we can ask him to help us and change us and kind of submit to him working in us in that. And in Psalm 141, verse 3 and 4, David asks God for help with this. He says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil. And David is literally asking God to watch his mouth. And he's connecting that with the state of his heart. It's like God, he's asking God to kind of put a security guard there to watch his lips and make sure that nothing comes out of it that isn't honouring to God and that reveals something wrong in the state of his heart. And that's certainly something I would do it sometimes, like that kind of person there. They would say that. So yeah, I need God's help. That's, you know, we can't watch our own mouths. Despite all our best efforts, it's something we need God's help with. We need him to change our hearts. And so we're going to take some time together now to respond to this, to reflect and to pray on our own. But there is the prayer team later who can pray through these things more with you if you want, or anything else you prepare for. And we're going to use some chocolate to help us pray. That was a great idea on the hottest day of the year. We've done this before. We're going to suck it really slowly and use the time that it's dissolving and bringing sweetness into our mouths to talk to God. You can ask him to heal you and help you forgive people when their words hurt you. You can ask him to forgive you for hurting people with your words. You can ask him to work in you and change the attitude of your heart so that what comes out of your mouth is sweet. The sweetness of the chocolate is going to bring is a kind of symbol of wanting the sweetness of God to come out on our lips, for that to be what's reflected out of our hearts through our mouths. Whatever you need to do, it's between you and God. I just really encourage you to kind of connect with him and let him work in you. And I'm going to pray for us as the chocolate's being handed around. Don't feel you have to hold it for any length of time. Please eat it when you've got it. So God, please, would you help us to watch our mouths and to have hearts that reflect you in what we say to others. Thank you that you love us and there is forgiveness when we've got it wrong. Please come and meet with each one of us now, and may we leave here changed as we met with you. And help us to take what you said to us today out into our everyday lives, and remember it when we're speaking to people this week, next month, whenever it may be. Amen.